Welcome to another episode of Rated Golf. Coming up on the show, we catch up again with Lyle Rowe, who captured his first win on the Sunshine Tour in 5 years. We discover brand new club taking South Africa by storm, Grindworks. Meet our celebrity golfer Felicity Sheba and visit the iconic Gary Player Country Club at Sun City. Welcome once again to the episode. It is episode 10. We've reached the back nine, a little idea that started a few months back on the eve of the new season of the Sunshine Tour has certainly progressed into something that we absolutely love. We featured a host of guests, including a US Open champion, a President's Cup captain, players from around South Africa and more, and distinguished guests all in all. And of course, I've always got my partner in crime and my distinguished co-host with me, Tyron Barnard. How are you doing, Ty?
Yeah, Derek, you know, we're talking after Rory McIlroy gets his 20th PGA win. I mean, that was something special. He seemed to find the putter, and I think it's a sign of things to come. If Rory finds the putter, he is going to be unstoppable. And I don't think there'd be too many golf fans around the world that would bemoan him going to finally win at Augusta this next year. Obviously, Ernie's birthday, but unfortunately not a great week defending his SAS championship. Some good South African performances around the world. Obviously, I'm itching. I can't wait to get back on a golf course, which will happen this week for the first time in a month. And yeah, it's going to be absolutely great. No more winter run, though.
Yeah, no more winter run. But just to give some clarification as to why we've been so quiet, I think it's been about 3 or 4 weeks since our last episode where we featured the International President's Cup captain, Trevor Immelman. The reason being is that some of us were traveling. I spent a bit of time in Namibia. And unfortunately, Ty, given the fact that you lost the weight of another human, it did come with a few health complications, one of which meant that you had to spend a little bit of time in hospital. And as a result, no golf for you.
Yeah, and unfortunately, spending time midweek in hospital, there wasn't a lot of golf that I could watch. And there's just a lot of repeats on TV. No tournaments on Monday to Wednesday. And late night on Thursday was at least some company. But yeah, all things are healthy, fixed. Got the clearance last week Thursday to start swinging again. Hit a driving range and everything felt okay. And I get to play at Rand Park on Firethorn on Wednesday. So that should be a bit of fun. And let's just hope that I don't let my four ball down. But, you know, you're out on a golf course. There is no such thing as being let down when you're on a golf course in this country.
I tell you what, I was invited to take part in that event and I tried to move things around and I ummed and ahed. And the prize on offer is absolutely spectacular. And given the fact that I am pretty crap at golf, let's be honest, I couldn't handle the pressure of performing so poorly and denying the rest of my teammates an opportunity to play at Leopard Creek, which, of course, is one of the prizes on offer, which is absolutely phenomenal. So I had to turn that down. However, you got to play in this tournament last year. You were in the top three, and you got to experience Leopard Creek for the first time.
Yeah. So obviously, last year with COVID, corporate sport had less qualifiers. And so we actually came fourth. And because they had less qualifiers for that one, the top four qualified. So we went snuck in at fourth place. There were eight teams at the final. And we actually came second at the final at Leopard Creek. But just the opportunity to play Leopard Creek is, you know, as a South African, it's right up there. Mm. It was probably number two on my bucket list when I was younger. Because number one, which is something that really makes me excited, was Gary Player. You know, growing up watching Sergio Garcia and Ernie Els battle it out at Gary Player there at Sun City. I mean, it was just, if you were a young South African golf fan, that's all you wanted to do was you wanted to go walk up that champions walkway. You wanted to, on the ninth, reach the green in two. I mean, I've never done that, but you wanted to do that. You wanted that opportunity. Having been fortunate to play it a few times now, there is nothing short of everything you hope for at Gary Player. The one thing that they could maybe do is install better aircon along the course because it's really hot. But what an experience. And to walk those steps and see the names of the winners of the Nedbank Challenge. We may have been robbed of the Nedbank Challenge, but, I mean, if you can think of a better course to host your SA Open, you'd be quite impressive.
Yeah, we just saw Sun City in all its beautiful splendor this past weekend, the Blue Label, and we'll be chatting to the winner a little later in Lyle Rowe. A more deserved winner you can't get. We've had him on the show before, but a tremendous guy nonetheless. And yeah, that's, of course, we talk about Leopard Creek, we talk about Gary Player. That's just two of the hundreds of spectacular courses that we have in the country, and a big thank you to my friend Chris over from Royal Johannesburg. I got to experience quite a lot at Royal Joburg over the last couple of weeks. I played East not too long ago with Utah, followed it up with a round at West last week. And my personal golfing highlight took place a couple of days ago, playing at Parkview, which in my mind, Ty, is probably the most underrated course, one of the most underrated courses. It's beautiful. I managed to hole out from 70 meters. Which you've seen my game, and for that to happen is pretty miraculous. So miracles do happen. So hopefully they can repeat themselves. The lightning can strike twice. But enough about my golf. Yeah, yeah.
No. I think you're just downplaying yourself a little bit. I've seen your short game, and I have a feeling that with the right set of clubs in your hands, I think you could become quite special.
Well, that leads us perfectly onto our first guest. So without further ado, let's get into it. Once again, welcome to episode 10 of Raider Golf.
Hi, it's Michael Campbell here, listening to Raider Golf with Ty and Derek.
Thank you very much, Michael Campbell. One of the greatest guests that we have had, a former US Open champion. So let's move over to our first feature of the show. Now, it wasn't too long ago, a couple of weeks ago, in fact, where I got an email, a magnificent email, it must be said, saying that a Japanese golf brand launched in South Africa with a direct-to-consumer model, Grindworks, entering the global golfing market just 5 years ago. And already former Masters champion and 8-time PGA Tour winner Patrick Reed uses the irons and wedges. More than that, Patrick advises and collaborates with Grindworks on new product development, including models made specifically for him. He has a deep understanding of what he wants in a club, and our club should be designed to provide optimal performance. Now, whatever you think of Patrick Reed as a person, there's no denying that as a player, he is phenomenal and possesses one of the best short games in the game. And we are thrilled to have on board right now the MD of Grindworks, Jason Thompson, and the marketing director, Kevin Wellman. Gents, welcome to the show.
Hey, Derek. Good to be here. Thanks for having us, guys.
Absolute pleasure. Now, I was so excited when I saw this because it's been a long time since we've seen a new player in the golfing club market. And it looks extremely exciting. I mean, this email rocked up in my inbox. I think you guys followed me on Twitter as well. Immediately, I started reading up on it, and I thought, wow, these clubs look nice. And a good colleague of ours, a friend of ours, Richard Maspero, chatted to him, and he said, it looks really cool as well. He can't wait to see what these things play like. But tell us more.
Yeah, I'll jump in first. This is Kevin speaking. We started dabbling with Grindworks probably 4 or 5 months ago. Jason found the brand and contacted the, believe it or not, the CEO globally, and we were awarded exclusive distributorship rights in South Africa. The club started coming in. We started dabbling what could work for us, what would work in the South African market. And for 3 or 4 months, I think it was a dream come true. We just got to fiddle with clubs. We got to hit clubs. We got to send clubs back. We got new clubs, etc. And we decided to launch with 4 sets of irons, 2 sets of drive, 2 different drivers, rather, sorry, a couple of fairway woods, a couple of hybrids, and a few variations on the wedges, which we'll get back to in a short bit. But the clubs are all forged Japanese irons. The feel is absolutely unbelievable, and I think that's really what got Jason's attention in the beginning, and then certainly mine a month or two later, was as when you strike a drought, and there's no doubt, Derek, with your immense skills, you're going to be striking a drought this weekend. The feel of the club is just something unbelievable. It was something I hadn't felt in the golf club before, and I was hooked. And I suppose the rest is history.
Yeah, I tell you what, I cannot wait. And full disclosure, the gentleman had very kindly offered a set of clubs to myself and Ty, which we will be using over the weekend. Have we decided where we're playing yet, Ty?
We were just waiting to confirm that tee off time at Serengeti.
Ah, yes, the home of Raider Golf. So yeah, we'll be taking on Serengeti with these brand new sets of Grindworks. I cannot wait to get my hands on these clubs. And I mean, it must have been fairly daunting, though. I mean, you say you jumped at the opportunity to bring these to South Africa, but I mean, I spoke about it earlier. The fact that it is. It's an area which hasn't really been updated for a considerable amount of time in terms of new brands. I mean, and players tend to stick to the brands they know. So was it a tough sell initially, or what has the response been like?
Yeah, Derek. So it's Jason. Yeah, initially when I started bringing them in, it was, hey, it's Japanese forged irons. The feel is amazing. I wanted to test it out and see for myself. I play Scratch League and Mid-Am here at Eagle Canyon. So I got a few of the guys that are really good golfers on them and said, hey, let's put these things through their paces. Let's test them out. And I want honest feedback from every single guy that we've given clubs to. So, yeah, we've had quite a few of the tour pros also using them. We had Neil Skittycat the other day hitting a few balls with us on the range, Carl Barker and a few others. And the feedback that we've received has been really, really great. You know, all of them have said pretty much the same thing. The feel is amazing. The balance of the clubs and the stability of them are amazing. And, yeah, you know, we know that we're going to have a lot of tough competition from all the competitors. But I think the market's ready. I think they're ready for a new player in the market. We are doing all of our stuff online. So we've got a little bit of a different way of going about selling and our approach to the market. So, yeah, you know, we're going to give it a shot and let's see how it goes.
I think I just wanted to add one point there, Derek, if I may. I think what's important is we're not just bringing in the actual irons that Patrick Reed uses. You mentioned him up front. So he uses the MB101s, which is a set of blades, and they're absolutely unbelievable clubs. But we've brought in an additional three sets of cavity back clubs from the 202s, which are for the kind of the distinctly single figure handicap golfers, to the 333s. Which are a little bit more forgiving, but still absolutely incredible clubs. They probably range from a 5-6 handicap through to someone in the teens somewhere. And then we've got a fourth range, a range called the PCXs. And the PCXs are on our website. We use the words like for the weekend warrior, but they are forgiving, but absolutely unbelievable. Our technical experts, Landon Ferguson, when he hits the PC, and he's a +4 or +2 or something. But when he hit the PCXs, he just couldn't believe what he was hitting. He just said, you cannot miss with these clubs. They're absolutely unbelievable. They just feel incredible for what they are. So we've brought in a range to cover the market and to complement any existing golfer.
Yeah, I when I first heard about you guys, I went and looked at your website and looked at the clubs. And I mean, I won't lie, the PCX, reading up about them, really grabbed my attention, you know, because we have a lot of friends who play golf with us in the Raider Golf Group who are exactly that, are the weekend warriors, the guys who are really new into the game, very high handicaps. And, you know, they often try and go for clubs that are not forgiving enough, that are, and it just spoils the occasion. So, I mean, I love that you've got all the way from blades through and that you're catering for the different scenarios. But I also love that you're doing things differently. You know, we're not going to go into the pro shop or golfers club and buy it. You're going through the online side of things, and it's 2021. It's almost 2022. I mean, take us through a consumer's experience? What can they expect to get when they buy online, when they want to chat to somebody? How does the process work for them?
Kev, do you want to answer that from the marketing side?
I think from a marketing point of view, I think there's a couple of things that led to this decision, and I really must stress this. It wasn't a decision made lightly and certainly not made easily as well. But look at the lessons we've learned over the last 20 months of COVID. Look at the adoption of online shopping, of how people are buying, how people are interacting online. And if I can give you one little bit of extra insight into Jason's and my lives prior to Grindworks and probably still, I mean, Jason runs a logistics company. So he has the ability to move things around. He has the ability to get things into the country in a cost effective, quick manner. My background is I run a public relations firm and I also manage a digital marketing business. So we overlaid these two sets of skills and we play into our strengths, and our strengths as well sit with. For too long, we've thought that South African golfing consumer isn't getting the value for money that they could be getting. So we wanted to bring clubs in. We wanted to pass the savings on, and we've taken a bit of a risk, and we're going directly to the consumer with the range of clubs. Your actual question was about the consumer journey. So you said you popped onto our website. So that's exactly where we are. We're doing all our marketing online through Facebook, or just all social media forum adverts. We're doing Google search. We're doing Google display. We're doing all of that stuff as you should be. And then there is a consumer journey that sits in the website. Obviously, the biggest challenge with a golfing brand is it is an emotional purchase. Somebody wants to buy what they want. They want to touch it. They want to feel it. They want to hit it. They want to live with it for a short bit. So we put together a way of testing the club in the comfort of your own country club or golf course or whatever it may be. So let's just, as an example, let's say we have a potential client in Durban that is interested in one of our clubs. And let's say his name is Tyron and Tyron is from Durban. If Tyron reaches out to us via our website and he clicks on the button called Try Before You Buy, quite simply, he would select the iron that he's most interested in or wood or whatever it may be, and we would send him a test club. We would put a small charge against his credit card. He would get the club for a week, and then we would have it and we would go and collect it from him and give him an absolute 100% full reimbursement of that cost that gets held against his credit card. So essentially, you are able to test the club in the comfort of your own country club or golf course for free. And I don't think anything speaks to you better as a consumer than that. We've got a couple other little tricks and treats along the line for a consumer, which we're rolling out, but you'll have to wait and see as we roll those out over time.
I actually mentioned that to Ty a couple of days ago when we spoke about this behind the scenes, and we said we had to get you guys on board. And I mentioned the fact that you can try out the club online, getting it for a week. And Ty, you were blown away.
Yeah, Derek, I don't think I've ever experienced anything like that. I mean, you obviously go to the pro shop and you can play putt-putt for a few hours, or you can swing a club, but it's not really the same playing in a shop where you're relaxed, where it's different, there's people around. You want to experience it on the course. Well, at least I know I do. I do. I mean, that's the way. I'm not really the biggest fan of driving ranges myself. I'd rather go pay for a round and go play on the course and learn on the course. I feel like it's the real way to do it.
What we're doing in addition, we're a small startup team, quite obviously. We've only launched the brand about 10 days ago. We're trying to get our clubs into as many golf days as possible because obviously you've got a captive market from a marketing point of view. But the thing is not you arrive at the golf day and you can win a wedge or win a putter or win, you know, something like that, or everyone gets a cap. That flies in the face of what we're trying to achieve. If you play, if we participate in a golf day, and let's say we sponsor the fourth hole, which would be a short hole, you have to use one of our clubs to play your shot to qualify for closest two or to go into a lucky draw to win something or whatever it may be. But it comes down to, once again, the experience, because it's once somebody's actually used the club, felt the club, you understand the difference between a cast iron club and a forged iron club. You start to grasp the difference between a 15,000 rand set of clubs and a set of forged irons that are now being sold for 15,000 rand.
Wow. Yeah, I tell you what, I cannot wait to get my hands on them. And a bit about the history. I mean, it's a very, very young brand, and as mentioned, launched in Japan. And how has it taken over the golfing world? I mean, you spoke about Neil Skitakatier in South Africa. I know we've mentioned Patrick Reed. But yeah, how did the product come about, and how receptive have consumers been to it, particularly outside of SA?
I just want to just make one note on Neil Skitakat. We met him on the range and he just hits our clubs. He's not using our clubs. I just wanted to put that as a proviso in case he's got a club sponsor. And we are certainly not claiming to be putting clubs in the hands of Neil. I must say he actually hit the clubs that I own, the ones in my bag, and they've never been hit that well. But that is a complete side issue.
The middle is still new on Kev's clubs.
Yeah, the middle is, Derek, I think the middle of my clubs are as new as the middle of your clubs. I think Tyron and Jason can have a different conversation.
Oh, that's lovely.
But you talk about the brand globally. The brand was established in 2015, obviously in Japan. The global CEO he's been inducted into the Hall of Fame for club making.
Correct.
So he is very, very well respected, very, very well established. He's got a long history of making clubs, but he started the brand Grindworks in 2015. A little bit later, collaborated with Patrick Reed, who is, I think, the last time I looked, was the 11th best golfer in the world, the number one golfer in terms of short game stats, which is incredible. And I would like to talk about wedges in a short while. And I think more than simply putting a name on a bag or a name on a club, Patrick is very involved in the club manufacturing process, in the design, in various elements of the materials. And that is terrific. So Grindworks works on a distributorship basis. They exist. I think there's about 15 or 20 countries in which they exist. Patrick Reed owns the franchise in the USA. So he owns the brand in the USA, very big brand in Japan, very big brand in China, various other markets. And then obviously it's been, we launched it in South Africa a couple of weeks ago. Once again, it's an interesting process. When you go direct to consumer, it's a slower introduction to the market, certainly. We said it a second ago, we've been in business for 8 days. And I think we've sold 25 sets of clubs already.
Wow.
So 25 different people are using our irons, which is really, really good news. But we are certainly, if you go in sort of 3 day tranches, every 3 days is busier than the 3 days before it. So the upswing is real. The adoption is real. The interest is real. And that's all we want. We don't want to upset the market for upsetting the market's sake. That's not what it's about. It's about the consumer getting a club in their hand, one that they can afford and two that they really love. So we're trying to do everything we can to put clubs in people's hands.
And Kevin, with those 25 sets that were sold, were those all as a result of customers trying out a club? Although I think that's impossible because if it's 8 days old, they would have had it. So a lot of them just bought blind, basically.
Some people today, I'll give you a perfect example today. We had a gentleman pop an email through this morning. Didn't know the person, never met the person, hasn't played in the golf day that we've supported, hasn't been to one of our range evenings, hasn't seen the actual apparel, popped through a one-line email through our websites or through our social media marketing, inquiring about two sets of blades, the top of the range clubs.
Wow.
He paid an hour later. He'll get his clubs tomorrow. They're going to be hand-delivered to his office, to him and his business partner. And that's happening. We've had somebody in Cape Town. We've had two fellas in Durban.
One in Centurion.
There's probably, I would say, 10 of the 25, absolute blind purchase. And what I can tell you is every single one of those that have received their equipment already have sent a mail within a day or two just saying they can't believe what they're actually hitting.
Oh, man.
I'm going to ask you that question that you're not supposed to ask people, and that's which is your favorite kit? Obviously, you've got the drivers, you've got the irons, you've got the fairway woods, the hybrids, the putters, the wedges.
Yeah,
but what are you the most proud of in your arsenal of weaponry?
Tyron, Jason, and I are going to argue here, but obviously, I'm right. But for me, as I think the irons are absolutely terrific, but for me, first prize are the wedges. I can't believe the feel that the wedges give you. That we launched with a set of wedges called the 86 Raw Wedges, which is that kind of raw, how do I say it nicely? It's got that raw, grippy feel to the wedge, and they're just absolutely incredible. And then just tomorrow, actually, which this is being broadcast in a few days' time, which would be October the 20th, we're launching a second set of wedges. These are the actual wedges that Patrick Reed will be using. They called
next season.
Yeah, for next season, called the Barrett Collection. So for me, it's the wedges. I know Jason is looking at me with disappointed eyes, but it's okay.
Yeah, Tyron, for myself, I'm a big fan of the irons, especially the 202s and the MV range. I play off a low handicap, so, you know, those are the things that I really gravitate towards. And then the putter. You know, I've used a lot of putters in my life, all the brands. I'm exceptionally good on the greens. That's where I kind of make up my shots. I'm a bit terrible off the tee box. We still need to work on that a lot. But the flat stick, it rolls true. The feel is good. It's actually unbelievably well balanced. So, yeah, if I had to choose, I'd go towards the putter and the irons, probably the 202s or the MBs or my thing.
Well, I'm very excited. I won't lie, given what Kevin spoke about with the wedges, because, my long game is nothing to be spoken about whatsoever. My short game is pretty impressive. I'd like to think so. So, yeah, that's certainly something that I'll be casting my eye over. But like Ty said, who knows? Maybe I've been using the wrong driver. Well, I've lost two drivers. I promise you I won't lose this one.
Good sell.
Honestly, I have actually lost two drivers on the golf course. But yeah, I can't wait to get my hands on them. And, price-wise, I mean, I'm looking at these prices and, they are super competitive. They're superb.
Yeah. So Derek, the prices, you know, the PCX range, you're looking at 12.5 grand is what we're retailing at. It does come pitching wedge to 5 iron and not 4 iron with the PCX range. And there's a reason why that's been done. You know, it is for the higher handicap golfer. They battle. A long iron isn't the easiest thing for the guys to do. So, you know, we suggest that the guys put in a hybrid, you know, one or two hybrids in the bag instead of that 4 iron.
Oh, man, I cannot wait. So,
the rest of the range goes up to the top of the line, which is 18 grand. And then, you know, all the other sets of pitching wedge to 4 iron. If any of the customers are confused on which ones they should be using, they're more than welcome to give us a shout. You know, we'll put our technical expert onto them and, you know, we can discuss and get the right clubs in the right hands.
And again, it's simply a case of logging onto grindworks.co.za, making your orders. And if you just want to try before you buy, a tremendous initiative is that you simply click here and you'll have an iron shipped to you for 1 week to test in the comfort of your own local club or range, which I think is absolutely brilliant. Like Ty said earlier, you can have some fun on the putting greens over in your shops, but it doesn't quite replicate what you find out on the course. And we'll be discovering that in a couple of days when myself and Ty take on the courses, probably Serengeti. I'll be playing, I think, Wanderers, if I'm not mistaken, later this week as well. Hopefully I can get my hands on these beautiful grindworks before that. Nudge, nudge, hint, hint. Gents, thank you so much for what promises to be an incredible initiative and a very exciting time for golf clubs in South Africa.
Yeah, Derek, thanks for having us. We really do appreciate it. We'll get those irons out to you as soon as we can. Please make the Groundworks name proud when you play with them. Try your best not to lose our driver. That would be pretty cool.
Before you guys do jump off, just obviously on social media, where can everybody find you?
Yeah, so we're on Twitter, very simply GrindworksZA or at GrindworksZA. We're on Facebook, GrindworksSA. We're on Instagram as well, GrindworksSA. and just come to the website. All the details are there.
Yeah. Gents, thank you so much. And we can't wait to try them out. And I promise you, myself and Ty will be giving it a full review next time we come to you in episode 11.
Hey there, this is Brian McFadden, Irish singer-songwriter, and more importantly, avid golfer. And you're listening to Raider Golf with Derek and Ty.
Thank you very much, Brian McFadden, singer extraordinaire, also a very, very good golfer and a big fan of Raider Golf. I tell you what, another man who's a big fan of the show because he's making his second appearance. And Ty, what a performance over the weekend. And of course, you spoke about a little earlier, one of the iconic courses the world over, Gary Player Country Club, hosted the Blue Label Challenge.
Yeah, Derek, what a great course, what a great tournament. It's always great to see golf happening at Sun City and obviously to see the Sunshine Tour back in action. And of course, to see a friend of the show, Lyle, finishing as the winner. And hopefully we can get him to reenact some of his celebration dances. was extra special.
How are you doing, Lyle? Welcome to the show.
Yeah, well, thanks yourself. Yeah, thanks very much for having me on. Can you hear me properly?
Yeah, perfectly. And I see. Are you? You've actually got the camera on. Are you? You're at the range.
I can turn it off if you want.
No, it's cool. Are you at the range as we speak?
No, I was having a bite to eat here with my mate, Jake Redman.
Okay. So Lyle, how did it feel winning your first Sunshine Tour event in 5 years?
Yeah, obviously a big weight off the shoulders, which is always nice. You never know when, or you always wonder when you might win again. So to win and after such a long spell, it's nice to get it done, especially on such a good course.
Lyle, I mean, Derek, I was just going to say, Lyle, you've been very competitive a lot lately. I mean, was there a big degree of frustration that you hadn't managed to get it over the...
Yeah, it's obviously nice to be playing well and getting it in, like having a chance again to win a couple of events, maybe Mount Edgecombe and Centurion. But yeah, there's always those one or two shots that you're trying to just shave off to get over the line.
I'm sure that must have been the case. I remember when we chatted to you, it was at, Serengeti earlier this year?
Yeah, Serengeti. Yeah.
We caught up to you, and you were very much in the reckoning going into, I think it was the penultimate, it was going into the final round.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, it didn't quite go all your way. This time, however, a different story completely.
I think it was a bit of a harsh lesson to learn the Serengeti, especially having put myself in position and then completely bottled it. Just to learn a lot from there, obviously a couple of mental hurdles to get over and then to try and put them into play at Sun City.
Tell us about the changes that took place at Sun City. A couple of course changes. The front and back, I think the 9th and the 18th were swapped, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, so we were finishing on the 4-5 ninth, which obviously I think it might have been designed that way. I'm not sure. But yeah, it's obviously a nice, exciting finish, especially with that 4-5 that you can get up with on 2 in the point system.
Yeah, Lyle, obviously that's what a lot of listeners won't know is that this tournament worked on the modified points system. For those not in the know, how is that different from a normal tournament?
I think it obviously rewards aggressive play where you're getting points, 2 points for birdie, 5 for an eagle, 8 for an albatross. So if you're making, you'd rather make 9 birdies and 9 bogeys than 4 birdies and 4 bogeys, if that makes sense, for the same score. So I think our target Dylan finished second, but on score wise, but obviously had more points than him. So just maybe more birdies than him at the end of the day.
Yeah, and what would you say the condition? Obviously, we know Gary Player is a course that desperately relies on the rain, and the rain hasn't quite come yet, so it's still quite dry, quite a few brown patches, but overall, the condition of the course?
Yeah, it was superb. Fairways were awesome. Greens were running great. I think they protected it a bit for the extra open game at the end of the year. So they could have made it a little bit more tough in terms of green speeds and stuff like that. But yeah, there wasn't much rush, obviously, with no rain.
You know, speaking of the SA Open, we know that it will be taking part at the same venue that you've just conquered. I mean, that must put a massive smile on your face, because it is a tournament that all South African golfers want to win. And we had Thomas Apt on the show not too long ago, and we spoke about the history that comes with the SA Open. And we're going to be chatting to Ken a little later as well from Gary Player Country Club in the build-up to this magnificent occasion. And I'm sure that you certainly must be a front runner, given the fact that you've just won on the Sunshine Tour at the venue which will be hosting the SA Open. But there's something more to it as well, is the fact that this was your first Sunshine Tour victory in South Africa. I mean, how much does that mean to you?
Yeah, it's just nice. Obviously, that golf course is, I think, it's a special place for a lot of South Africans. Obviously, watching it on TV growing up, watching it, having played a few tournaments there in our careers and stuff like that. It's a great course, and obviously, hopefully, only good vibes going there for the end of the year.
Tell us about your schedule at the moment. We're chatting to you on a Monday, 2 days after you lifted aloft that trophy. What's your schedule looking like for the next couple of days?
Yeah, so we've got Blair Athol this week, Thursday to Sunday, and then I think it's a week off, and then St. Francis Link, which is quite nice, like a second home tournament.
Yeah, well, you play out of Humewood, obviously in Port Elizabeth, otherwise known as Tribeca, one of the greatest links courses the world over. And yeah, St. Francis Links is right up there. In fact, we had Jeff Claus on the show not too long ago. So you no doubt would be chomping at the bit to take that on. But a bit more on Blair Athol, a short course.
Yeah, especially for a short, for me, a short hitter. It's quite a beast of a golf course. Played 10, 11 holes there now earlier. Yeah, the monster. Big greens, big bunkers, big fairways, everything there. It's just bigger. It's quite a track.
For the non-seasoned professionals, i.e. the rest of us, obviously you have the tournament in Sun City. You finish on Saturday. How quick do you move on to the next place? What do you spend Monday, Tuesday? Is there pro-am this week? Or, is there a bit of downtime, or is it just nose to the grind nonstop?
Fortunately, we had yesterday off to try and recover a lot of it from Saturday evening and that week at Gary Player. So yesterday was just a bit of a recovery and travel day. And then today, I'll slowly get back into it this week. I think there's a pro-am on Wednesday that I'm not playing in. So I'll just probably play 9 holes.
One of the great things about the Sunshine Tour this season is the fact that viewers have been able to follow it live on Supersport. And, there's been a lot of talk about it in the last couple of weeks. So myself and Ty have been heavily involved with conversations. Of course, I'm at Supersport, so I'm extremely biased. And Richard Maspero is a very good friend of the show. And he is the Mr. Supersport, Mr. Golf when it comes to the channel. And he was telling me that It's actually been great for a lot of the players, which I think goes without saying, but the coverage has certainly enabled players to get more sponsors on board, be able to perform in front of cameras. I'm sure it must be a massive boost to a professional golfer to know that when you are playing, there is coverage.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great... Thomas has done so well for the tour, getting, obviously, TV coverage for the final two rounds or final round in the Origins events and stuff like that. I think it's just great for the players to obviously play under the pressure of cameras, TV, and, like I say, have a chance to showcase their skill. People that might be sponsoring them, family, friends that want to watch them that might not be able to travel, especially during this, obviously, COVID story.
And do you feel that pressure? You say... playing in front of cameras. I mean, have you got relatively used to it now, or do you feel it when, especially, I mean, let's look at this past weekend. You were vying for contention going into the final day, and you ended up, of course, winning. What was it like with that camera following you for the last couple of holes?
Yeah, you obviously got to get used to it. It's nice. Obviously, the more and more you play in front of them or with them, I suppose you get more used to them. But yeah, it just adds a different dimension, you know, hitting a couple of good shots or bad shots.
Yeah, one of the things you mentioned there is obviously we've played under the auspices of COVID and bubbles and all of that. Just last week, the government has ruled that fans are now allowed to return to sporting events. Obviously, very complicated in terms of how many numbers and how long, et cetera, et cetera. So, yeah, I mean, do you guys, as the pros in golf, does that make a massive difference to you, the fans joining, the crowding of the 18th? You know, how much of an impact do you foresee it making on the tour?
Yeah, it's nice that I mean, just their family and friends come and watch. I mean, obviously, having played Humewood not so long ago, there was a lot of members and family and friends there that wanted to come and watch us and just generally get out and see a bit of sport, you know. So it's been very frustrating from that side that you can't even have wives, girlfriends, mates come and watch when you play home courses. So, yeah, it's a big, not weight off, but I mean, it's nice just to people can get out again and watch sport.
I mean, you did say wives and girlfriends. Obviously, a few of the players were enjoying the fact that their wife and their girlfriend could come at the same
time.
Yeah,
why? Yeah. Depends on the venue.
Apparently, there's not much tour at Dame Friends, so we're okay.
Ah, okay. Oh, that was keys in the hat.
We are digressing. Lau, obviously, well done. It's awesome to see you back on the top of the winner's step. I think it's been coming based on the form you've been showing, but must just be a good celebration. I must ask you, because I did see some videos on Instagram.
Was the celebration bigger
than the celebration of your last title 5 years ago?
Yeah, that venue and obviously that event, it's just built to have a good time. So I know we had a good crack at it. Fortunately, Sunday was it was a bit of a write off, I must say. Dance moves. I think there were some sore bodies from those dance moves. A couple bruises and scratches we didn't know about.
I think Steve Surrey may have won the dance off.
Yeah, he's a lot smoother. He moves a lot better than he looks. I promise. We call it bouncing the ball. He thinks he's playing basketball. They sometimes have to kick him out of clubs because they say no ball games inside.
I tell you what, we may be over at Sun City for the SA Open. So hopefully we can catch up then again. We can do things in person once again, like we did last time at Serengeti. But before we go, we're speaking about videos. Did you manage to catch the tremendous European Tour video that was released a couple of days ago at the Guinness World Record?
Yes, I tried to see that with Wilco and Manuli and those guys.
Yeah,
it was 25 or 28 seconds, whatever it was.
Yeah, for those that don't know, Wilco Nienaber, Nicolai Højgaard, Sean Crocker, and Lee Min Woo Tai. What a video. Looking to break the world record as the fastest hole played. The record, which started at 3:37, ended at 5:55 p.m., and they completed it in 24.75 seconds. And, of course, Wilco was off the tee. What a great vid to watch, Ty.
Yeah, Derek, it was a great vid, but, you know, the approach shot, how accurate that had to be. So first you get Wilco, and he's hitting these bombs, and they're getting these hard bounces. So you got to run after it. As soon as it stops, you got to be swinging. I mean, and you saw the one where they eventually broke the record. I mean, he almost held that approach shot. It's quite funny because it was four men that get the record, but only three men took a shot. So technically speaking, the last one is not part of the world record run.
Yeah, I think that was Højgaard who never got to touch the ball because it was Lee who sank the putt. Where would you like to have been in that four-man group, Lyle? What position would you like to have played?
I think Højgaard, obviously. My friend, this is some back and watch. I don't know. It would be nice, obviously, to hold a putt and just get it done, you know. I suppose the last shot's the most important one, isn't it?
Well, I think, I mean, come on. The only thing left to do now is for the Sunshine Tour to do their own. I'll chat to Richard.
Yeah, and I think so.
Who would be off the tee?
Not a Blair. Oh, I was not too long there. We need something short.
No, probably James Hart to see off the tee box, because he can basically drive. Most par fives. Get yourself up there in the approach. Maybe who's leading? Who's the leading putter this year? That would be interesting. It would be a great combination.
No, they definitely. Like I said, I think the European Tour is so good with the way they do things and their interaction with Instagram and little challenges and stuff like that. It's brilliant what they do. So I think we need to jump on the bandwagon. Something similar.
I'd love to get Henny Otto, but I'm just scared in case he misses the putt. Oh, what would happen?
Yeah. We have another guy.
Oh, man, Lyle, it's been great having you on board. Listen, best of luck this week over at Blair Athol, the nice, one of the shortest courses on Mars, certainly one of the longest on Earth. It's going to be a tough one nonetheless. And then you back over to the Eastern Cape. You'll be taking on the St. Francis Links. And then a little later, hopefully we see you in person at the ESSA Open at a venue where you've just been victorious.
For sure. Yeah, we'll look forward to seeing you guys there and doing it again.
Can't wait. Cheers, Lyle.
Hi, this is Mas Azim from the European Tour, and you're listening to Ryder Golf with Derek and Tyron.
Thank you very much, Marcel, who has been tearing it up on the European Tour of later, a great friend of Raider Golf. So now, moving on to a new segment of the show, we have our celebrity golfer. Folks that aren't necessarily well-known in the world of golf, but certainly well-known elsewhere. However, this person has managed to cross the bridge in both spheres. Felicity Sheba, a TV presenter, fashion designer, columnist, but most importantly, she's a golfer, but it's all things golf. She plays the sport. She writes about the sport. She has a golfing charity. You name it, she does it. Felicity, welcome to the show.
Hello.
Yeah, welcome to the show. It's great to have you on board.
Finally.
Yeah, finally. And tell us about how you got into this wonderful sport.
Wow. It's not a very long story. I mean, I've always loved golf. I just never had the time to play. So I found myself a time when I moved to Zimbabwe. I moved to Harare in 2003. And I was just there as an expat, as an accompanying spouse. And I had all the time in the world and decided, you know what? This is it. This is the time to play. So I bought a set of golf clubs. Went to a golf course and said, hello, I'm here to play golf. And I happened to be lucky enough to find that the pro at the golf course was Tim Price, Nick Price's brother. And so he taught me how to play.
Wow. And the rest is history.
Exactly. And the rest is history.
You know what, Ty? I mean, you and I play a fair amount of golf and we tend to advertise it a bit on social media, particularly when it comes to the Raider Golf Instagram account. But it absolutely pales in comparison to the amount of golf that Felicity gets to play. I mean, has it been 24 hours since you've been in a golf course?
Just 24 hours. Just 24 hours.
What was the last place you played at?
I played on Saturday. I played Victoria Country Club in Pietermaritzburg. Oh, my gosh. How beautiful is that place? I don't know if you guys have played it, if any of you have played it, but that place is beautiful.
It's on the list, but it hasn't been that high up on the list. It might move up the list now because of you.
Be up the list.
So where does it make your top 10?
You know what? It actually does. Because I was sitting the other day and thinking, because I kept walking and thinking, oh my gosh, this is so beautiful. The greens are stunning. The fairways are beautiful. It's green. It's surrounded by mountains. It is challenging. And also you've got some easy holes that you can score on. I mean, it's just, it's like a, a little like packet of like gummy bears. Like, what do I eat next?
I hate asking the question because people always ask me, and I'm loath to give them the numbers because the numbers are usually shocking. But how did you score?
Terrible.
But
terrible. I shot my worst. I mean, I shot brilliant score in Simola the other 2 weeks ago, and this has been one of my worst scores this year. But for some reason, I was still walking around thinking, this is so nice. Did I just get a double bogey? It's okay. Let's go to the next hole. You know, it's just, it was stunning. I didn't have to score that high, but I did.
You know, a course is special when you walk off and you're smiling and laughing and you've lost more golf balls than you've got pars.
Yeah. I did a little bit of ball donation while I was out there. So, but you know what, though? I would love to go back when I am not so tired, because it was like the end of my trip and I was like exhausted. So I'm making excuses now, but it really shouldn't be an excuse. But I was kind of exhausted, even though I was just taking in the scenery and enjoying the views. I'd like to go back and play.
Yeah.
Around the club.
You say the end of your trip, because I mean, there's a little tidbit that you alluded to. 2 weeks ago, I just played at Simola and I played very well there. I mean, that's people don't just say things like that off the cuff. I played Simola the other day. I'm based in Joburg though. I was in Simola in Knysna. And now the other day I played in Pietermaritzburg and it was tremendous. You really get around and you really get to experience some of the best courses South Africa has to offer.
I really do. And, you know, I'm actually quite lucky and I call myself the nomad and the golf tourist, because I really am a golf tourist. This weekend, I was a proper golf tourist in Maritzburg. It's one of my favorite things to do. Just go and play a course, rate it and see how it plays and hear other people's opinion of it. But if a course is really, really stunning, I usually tell people, listen, It's on the top 10, it's on the top 5, it's on the top whatever. But just I'm very honest as well about how I feel about a course, which is
so. You know. I mean, obviously you're the one bringing up top 5 and top 10 now, so it segues brilliantly into what I should ask you. And yeah, you know, apart from obviously the pristine and the obvious, what are your 5 gems that you would recommend everybody gets a chance to play?
In South Africa or just anywhere?
Let's start with South Africa and then we'll add a few others that you
okay,
have.
Okay, let's start with South Africa. Honestly, the gems, and this is my, it might sound cliche or, oh, we were expecting that, but it should be expected. The links, Fancourt. There's something about that course that when you're standing on that first tee, you kind of need that shot, because you really do need that shot of whiskey that they give you there. Yes, because it's beautifully overwhelming. And I don't know how you putting beautiful and overwhelming in one sentence. And that's just the links. It's worth every single heartbeat when you get there, and you're either going to love it or you're going to hate it, or it's going to love you or it's absolutely going to hate you. I think that's definitely on my top 5. I would say, Gary Player Country Club. It's never been kind to me. Never ever. Maybe once. And I've played it numerous times. But it's, when you've been, I think a lot of, if you've been to the Nedbank and you see it in that setting and then try and play it without the setting of just being a spectator, it's also quite something. And it's always in good nick. That's another thing. The other one, which I, let's see, what's on there? One of my favorites, and even though I'm an ambassador for it, it's still one of my favorites. East Course, Royal Johannesburg. It's such a monster, and it really shouldn't be, but it actually is.
Oh, it's that was the last time. That was the last time Ty played golf was with me when we played at the East State. Ty, that was the last time.
And how did you guys find it?
I thoroughly enjoy the East Course. I know a lot of people like the West. I just, there's something special about the East. It's a proper challenge. There's
something special about the East.
Yeah, look, I think it was on the 6th or 7th, I landed in the fairway bunker, and I grabbed my 3-wood just to get it out the bunker and try and push it down the fairway. I've never middled a ball like that, that I actually ended up landing on the green and upsetting the guys in front of me. Not intentional. Oh, wow. But it was, what a course. It is, you know, we're blessed in Johannesburg. Within 10 kilometers of each other, you've got Royal Joburg, exactly. Serengeti, Glendower.
Exactly. I mentioned three. Sorry to cut you off there. I mentioned three, but Glendower was going to be my other one, which I just find amazing. And then Serengeti for me, always. Oh. Always, always, just always stunningly beautiful. From the minute you just walk in to the end of it, the course, the stuff, everything about it, it is spectacular.
Well, you know, Serengeti is the home of Raider Golf, so I'm a member there.
Oh, really?
Thankfully, yes. So Serengeti is absolutely magnificent. Mark doing magnificent things over at that course just outside OR Tambo International. You know, it was quite funny though, because we launched our second show at Serengeti when they hosted part of the Sunshine Tour. And we're talking, speaking about it online on social media, because I was playing there pretty much every week. And I just said, oh man, I'm back in paradise. And someone commented and they said, you know why it's called Serengeti? So I said, why? And they said, no, because when Jack Nicklaus, who designed the course, he was standing around designing the course and planes were flying overhead because, of course, it's quite close to OR Tambo. And and he said, the plains of Africa, it's got to be Serengeti. And I thought, that is amazing. Wow. And then I chatted to Mark Renwick. Mark Renwick said,
I didn't know that story.
No, but it's rubbish. Mark Renwick said, no, it's absolute nonsense. It's just, it's a beautiful area that kind of obviously replicates what you would expect to find at at a Serengeti, this open playing field, very little trees. It is magnificent. I completely concur.
It really is lovely.
It is. With those top five, would you work out of those top five, Ty?
I've previously done my top three, and Glendower, Royal Joburg are both in the top three. Obviously, as I spoke about, Leopard Creek experiences it for me. Gary Player is in my top. Obviously, I've also got soft spots for certain courses like Benoni Country Club, because it's the first place that I got a birdie. It's the first place I broke an 80. So, you know, you remember those clubs, but for pure aesthetic beauty, for me, number one is probably, from an aesthetic point of view, is probably Glendower. Point of view, it's Gary Player, first, and Leopard Creek.
Very nice. Okay, so I have to say Leopard Creek is not on my list because I haven't played it yet. It's obviously high up on the bucket list, but I know that it's the reason why it's not on any of my lists is because I have not played it yet. But you're saying you have a soft spot for other courses around. I do too. For me, West. Funny enough, Johannesburg, Royal Johannesburg West, I have a soft spot for it. I feel like it's just so pretty because of all the trees, and it's just really, really such a big difference from East that you can actually feel the difference, and you're like in one place. You're literally like 500 meters across to the other side is the other course. And I think that's what I like about it.
The only soft spot I had for West was when I was in hospital. I was in Linksfield Hospital and my window looked at the West Golf Course, so at least gave me some happiness.
Nice.
But that's the only time Royal West has ever given me happiness, because when I've played it, it just takes my happiness, pull the golf ball, and it hides it away, even when there's no water.
Yeah, look, it's not an easy course. That people think, West is, it's not actually easier. Let me tell you something about number, what hole was it? I shot the worst, we're playing middle, I shot the worst score on one hole at West. I had 12 shots. 12. Or number four, that par four with a little creek before the par three. I had 12 shots on that hole. I had tears in my eyes. I wanted to cry. I was playing club champs and ladies were like, "It's okay, Felicity." I'm like, "No, it's not."
Medal is not for sissies.
No.
Felicity, sorry, so let's talk about your personal highlights, and not just from a golfing perspective, but you are heavily involved in golf, and not just as a player. I spoke about it up front with regards to your charity.
Yes.
Tell us more.
Well, the charity was like, it just started out of, realizing obviously that there's a need for it. And then also realizing that you have the platform and the following to create something like that. But this girl's golf diary really started as a blog, a personal blog. Me just wanting to tell people about my beautiful traveling with golf and my bad golf, my good golf, and just golf fashion. It was just an easy little blog that I created that's turned into something magnificent. And initially, that wasn't the plan, but it's kind of evolved into a charity, into something bigger, into a feature blog. We are featured in some magazines. And so in 2019, I thought I was writing for Teas and Sandwiches. I had a monthly blog there, and one of the pros, Sunshine Tour pros, had gone to the driving range in Alexandra, and the kids there asked him if he knew me because they had read my blog and they knew about me. And so he came to me, he said, "Wow, Felicity, you need to go and see those kids. They probably need a lot of help. Just go and meet and greet and just make them happy just to show up." So I decided to go and have a look at it. And to my surprise, it's just like an open field with 50, 100, 200 markers. Very barren and no shelter, no water, no things. But there were about 60 kids from Alex playing, hitting golf clubs, old golf clubs. They have a coach who's been there for a while. And I thought, wow, this is fantastic. It keeps them off the streets. They're doing something good. They're enjoying this. And you could tell these little people just love what they're doing. So I thought, okay, well, how can I help? Decided to do a golf day. A charity golf day where I started off just collecting stuff for them. So I collected range balls, driving mats, gazebos, things that they could use and I could do at the time. Last year, obviously, we didn't have it because of COVID. And then the most recent one was probably our most successful one, which was fantastic. I had the kids come and play. The older kids, there's also teenagers there who can actually hit a ball and play a game, but had never played like a golf course or anything like that. So I always bring a four ball to play. The first one they played Houghton, and it's just really nice to see their faces and just have them in that environment where they know that the driving range is not the last place where they should end up. And that's really to just create positivity and give them a different perspective of what goes on outside of their driving range with regards to golf, and create awareness with other people that they're these kids that actually need help. So I collected like over 20 golf bags sets, and then separate clubs that just came in randomly, clothes, hats, all kinds of stuff. So we're still waiting to do like we've given the stuff over to them, but we're still waiting to do a sort of an activation with all the kids and everything else that we've collected. Basically that's what it is. Just creating awareness. Who knows? One of the kids might end up going to an academy somewhere and joining the Sunshine Tour. It's just really creating as much awareness about it as possible.
Well, and in creating and in the spirit of creating awareness, where can our listeners find out more about this?
They can email me at this girl's golf diary, and then we can have a chat about it, and I can let them know when they can go out there. I can go out and show them, introduce them to the coach, to the kids. It's really just getting in touch with me And then I just, you know, make the connection between whoever's interested and the coach who helps the kids out.
And of course, they can visit your website. Tell us a bit more about that.
And they can visit, yes, they can visit my blog where they can read, obviously, about the golf courses and the little blog that I have about golf in general. And leave comments, send me an email through there, and just have a look what I do. And my Instagram page, probably the most busiest one, and the Facebook page, the Skulls Golf Diary. That's the one that gets the most interaction, that gets the most you can email me from there too. There's a link where you can press email and email will come straight to me and my little team. But yeah, that's pretty much what it is. If anyone's interested in donating, helping out, finding out ways they can be involved, it's just through me or the coach. But obviously I'd have to facilitate that meeting with the coach.
Well, yeah, I mean, you are all over social media. I follow you a lot over on Twitter, Felicity Sheba, at Felicity Sheba, and you spell it like it sounds, I suppose, nice and easy. You can find you on Instagram.
I like the way you say spell it like it sounds. It's not S-H-E.
Yes. And finally, we've got to ask, so your dream four ball, including yourself, so just three other people, and on what course?
Oh wow. The four ball was very easy for me though. Tiger Woods.
Yeah.
I think, you know, I'm like a ridiculous Tiger fan. I don't know who isn't, but yeah, you know, I'm not going to talk to those people. Attica Sorensen, who is my favorite. She's my female Tiger Woods, obviously. I was lucky enough to sit with her and have a chat with her and watch her play and follow her around at the Gary Player Invitational. And then Rory McIlroy.
Oh, you must have been happy with what transpired over the weekend.
Yes, I am. Rory. Look, there's a few other people that I could add, like I could interchange, but those are really the ones that that's the four ball, including me. And it would have to be Augusta. It would have to be that beautiful course out in Georgia.
I think you'd be hard pressed to find many people that would disagree with you. Felicity Sheba, it's been amazing having you on the show. Well done on everything that you have achieved so far on and off the golf course, and may your charity go from strength to strength.
Thank you guys so much for having me. This was fun. I thought you were going to ask me questions, like a quiz. I'm like, oh, no. I'm so glad there was no quiz involved.
I remember when I messaged you about the interview, how hesitant you were. And I thought, why? You speak about golf 24/7. And
I actually do.
What's 25/8? What difference will that make?
I know. Everyone's like, Felicity, any drop of a hat, no one's interested in your golf. These are my friends who don't like sport. I'm like, yeah, well, you're going to have to listen anyway.
Finally, I have to ask, and it's probably one of the things that gets the biggest reactions when you do speak about it on social media, is the fact that you're a mother, but you're also a grandmother. And
yes.
Are your kids and grandkids big golf lovers?
Everyone is now. They have no choice. No, look, they are. They actually are. Luckily for me, everyone in my family is an athlete. I was a huge athlete growing up. So my kids played numerous sports. No one's actually played golf as diligently as me, but they can play or they try to. I think my youngest is probably going to be the best golfer of all of us. He's determined to beat me. And then I got my granddaughter. She's like a year and a half, some golf clubs. So who knows?
Excellent. Felicity, thank you so much for joining us on Raider Golf. Yeah, we'll see you on the fairways and on the greens, hopefully not in the bunkers and in the rough.
Hey, we should play, you guys. I'm happy to play with you guys.
No, done.
Anytime.
I'm in.
Hey, Ty, can we do this?
Absolutely. Let's get it going.
100%.
Yeah.
We'll make a plan ASAP, and then we'll report back in the next episode with how Felicity thrashed Tyron and Derek.
Thank you so much for having me.
Hey, this is Thomas Sapp, the Commissioner of the Sunshine Tour, and you're listening to Raider Golf with Derek and Ty.
So we had Lyle Rowe a little earlier on the show, who recently won the Blue Label Challenge, and that took place at the iconic Gary Player Country Club, arguably South Africa's most famous course, home to Africa's major, the Nedbank Golf Challenge, as well as a host of others, including that Blue Label Challenge and the upcoming SA Open, designed by one of the greatest to have ever played the game. So joining us is the GM. We're great to have him on the line. Ken Payette. Ken, thanks for joining us. Jeez, it's been a long time coming, and I understand that you had to rush back in order to make this interview, but we thrilled that you managed to do so.
Yeah, great to be with you, Derek and Ty. Yeah, awesome. Thanks very much.
Yeah, the pleasure's all ours, I can assure you. You must be thrilled with what took place over the last couple of days.
Yeah, very, very happy. I must say it was a fantastic event. Great golf. I tell you what, it's incredible how well these guys play around this very, very difficult track. And the conditions weren't easy. It was, the beginning of the week, the weather forecast looked pretty grim with regards to the heat wave that we experienced. And we definitely went through it. And then the final round on Saturday, it was heat and the wind was just incredible. You know, the wind around the Gary Player Country Club, there's no one direction. It just swirls all over the place. So, and you could see it in the scores. But I must say, the guys handled it very, very well. I'm very, very happy with the event. Blue Label Telecom's a great sponsor with Brett Levy and with Larry Neerstadt also supporting the event. So hopefully many more to come.
Ken, obviously, the one thing that's been missing on the calendar is, because of COVID, is the Nedbank Golf Challenge, Africa's major. Every young South African growing up, their favorite golf tournaments outside of the four golf majors. I mean, I know you can't have that now, but if you had to settle for another tournament, it's not really settling with the SA Open. You guys must be stoked to be able to host that again this year.
Yeah, absolutely. The SA Open, just the history around the SA Open is just incredible. So very privileged and honored to be the host. We did it last year. And it was a fantastic event, although under very strict COVID bubble regulations. So it wasn't fantastic, especially from a player point of view and also obviously from a spectator point of view. But this year, obviously, hosting the ESSA Open again the first week in December, regulations are a little easier or not as strict as last year. So the fact that we could have spectators, although you have to be vaccinated. So we're busy in planning at the moment with regards to, who is eligible. But it's very difficult when you're on the resort. At any given time, you have 4,500 to 5,000 hotel residents staying here. So there is a potential that we could restrict it to hotel residents, and there'll be a small element of day trippers that could be allowed to come up and watch.
Yeah, we're actually in discussions with Thomas and presumably with you as well, in terms of doing a show daily from the SA Open. So hopefully we manage to fit inside that bubble, obviously, with regards to restrictions as well. So hopefully we can do this again in person in a couple of weeks' time. But talk us through the transition from Blue Label through to SA Open, because there were a couple of changes to the course. I know the 9th, the 9th and 18th were swapped around, and that proved to be fairly popular. And was it the 15th that was moved forward a little bit to make that green drivable?
Yeah, so the Sunshine Tour, from a setup perspective, they quite like moving the tee forward on 15 because it's a real risk and reward. And it's a fantastic little hole that, you saw a couple of guys hitting on the green. And unfortunately, if you hit it wayward there, you could make some numbers. So it's a little different, especially towards the end of the round, and that could be make or break. You know, you're either going to be putting for an eagle or, you could be struggling to make par or drop. So with the 9 swapped, you need a little bit of excitement. And obviously the iconic, which is normally the 9th, when you play it, when normal guests play, and also for the Nedbank Golf Challenge, is now the 18th for Blue for SO Open, and we did that last year. So it's a great arena. It's a great finishing hole as well. So a little different. And also we wanted to move away from the Nedbank Golf Challenge, because that alone has its own identity. You know, we want to keep that sort of history and that tradition in place by keeping the nines as is for Nedbank Golf Challenge. So a little different, and just to add a bit of excitement towards the end of the round.
We spoke to Lyle Rowe earlier. I mentioned that, and you can imagine he must be thrilled by the fact that he's just won an event taking place at the host of the SA Open, because it is an event, and Thomas App mentioned this to us a couple of weeks ago. I think we take it for granted just how big, how much it means to players to win their own national event.
Yeah, I tell you what, it's goosebump stuff. And really, as I said, steeped in history. And if you look at the names on the trophy that has won previous SO Opens, it's just remarkable. And to have your name on that trophy, it's there forever. It's history. So I just wish that a lot of your South Africans who are playing overseas on the PGA Tour and in Europe will support the SO Open. And hopefully they will towards the end of the year.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we've had a great year. Three winners on the PGA Tour. Eric van Rooyen, would love to see him back. Gary Kecho, would love to see him. Vilko Ninaba is setting world records for fastest holes. And we really do have a great young South African core coming through right now. I mean, has there been some players that we maybe don't know about that you've seen in the past couple of days at Sun City that grabbed your attention and you thought maybe, sure, this guy has something to watch out for?
Yeah, I think if you look at the leaderboards in the past couple of weeks, and no doubt this week as well at Blair Athol, if you look at sort of almost the cream of the crop coming to the top with regards to Gary Player, because it's a tough golf course. So if you look at Lyle Rose, if you look at the youngsters coming through, there's some really, really good prospects. I just wish, and I think now, that there's going to be a lot more tournaments coming up. And hopefully they'll have a lot more opportunities to play events. You know, as an ice stretch now, you've got you have Blue Label Challenge last week, you've got Blair Athol this week. And then obviously the guys start preparing for SO Open. You've got Joburg Open, SO Open, and then the Dunhill. So you just got to look at the young players that are really playing well on difficult golf courses. And this week at Blair Athol is another long track with huge greens. So there's some really, really good prospects. And the guys, this is a huge, huge stepping stone from a Sunshine Tour perspective to play overseas. But we just must make sure that we don't lose too many players to the tours. And I know it's very difficult because you're earning a living and you want to try and make your USPGA Tour card. But somehow or another, we need to keep that South African player playing a lot more tournaments in South Africa, and not only just your SO Opens or your Nedbank Golf Challenges. It's supporting the Sunshine Tour, because that's your feeder. That's, the Sunshine Tour and many golf courses in South Africa have enabled those players to become superstars. And I feel that they need to give back by supporting tournaments in the coming years.
And an easy way to do that, and not just with players, but with just the regular man in the street, lady in the street, is by competing as well and just playing golf regularly, because there's no doubt about it that with the COVID restrictions dropping, it certainly is one of the most popular sports around, and arguably one of the most, even during lockdown, when you were allowed to play, because you could get out, get some fresh air, spend time out in the sun and a little bit of rain. And, you know, we mentioned it at the top of the show. Ty was speaking about the history when it comes to Gary Player Country Club, because very few golf courses come with that history where you can witness the heroes like the Gary Players, like the Ernie Els, having done so well on Gary Player Country Club, because it's an event that we've come to know and love at the end of each year. I'm talking about the Nedbank Golf Challenge. Of course, now we move over to the SO Open, but just with regards to the club and the course itself, I mean, for anyone to be able, and I played it for the first time towards the end of last year, to be able to go and walk the same fairways, to putt the same greens as the heroes that they saw year in, year out. And you don't get that everywhere.
Well, it's inspirational stuff, isn't it? As a youngster, I used to come watch the great superstars. If you look at the likes of your Ernie Els's, if you look at your Brandon Grace's, your Gary Hugo's, they all came to the Gary Player Country Club, to the Nedbank Golf Challenge, and watch superstars. So that's inspiration that they want to do, that's in the flesh, that's watching the likes of your Nick Faldos, your Seve Ballesteros's, all those iconic players. And you say, I want to be like that. I want to do whatever I can in order to make sure that I'm competing at that level. So, and that's going to continue for many, many years to come, as long as there's an Nedbank Golf Challenge, as long as there's an SA Open. Young junior players, and that's why we introduced the Nedbank Junior Challenge this year. I was very, very excited because it's a tournament that I've wanted to do for the last 2 years. And in partnership with Nedbank and Golf RSA is have your juniors come and play the Gary Player Country Club, come and play under very similar conditions, although the course is not as long for the juniors as that for Nedbank Golf Challenge, but it's very, very similar pins. So it's actually experiencing firsthand. And the winner of that event will be invited to spend time in and amongst the players, although not playing, but get to experience the behind the scenes, get to experience what a player's doing after hours in the gym, on the practice tee, what are they working on, how they're working on it. So that's what I wanted to do this year. But it's incredible what these players do with regards to inspiring the younger players. And it's something that I really would, I was a junior many, many years ago and played half decent golf. And that's how I want to become better. That's how I want to play in tournaments, by mimicking, by trying to get an advantage as best as possible. And that's the only way is that you can look at the best in the world. And it's all good and well. It's fantastic watching it on TV. But when you watch it in flesh, if you watch the guys coming and the practice rounds and how they prepare for the tournament, it's methodical. It's calculated. They go out there, they make sure that the yardages are pinpoint. They look at the wind. So it's not just arrive and play golf. This is a job for those superstars. And how they go about their business pre-tournament and during, it's just remarkable. It's something that if you have the privilege to experience, you need to take on board to make sure that you are better in your own game going forward.
Ken, obviously you guys have hosted some of the biggest names in the world, but I'm going to put you on the spot now and say, of all the names you've hosted at Sun City over the years at Gary Player Country Club, if you could pick three of them to play in a perfect four ball with you, who would you pick?
Oh, wow. Jeez. You're putting me on the spot now, eh? So the first player, without a doubt, is Nick Price. What a true gentleman. He's an unbelievable person. I would put Nick Price in that four ball. I would put my hero as a junior, Seve Ballesteros, but unfortunately he's no longer with us. So he'll be there.
We'll allow it.
What a player.
The next one, wow. Everybody thinks probably Tiger Woods, but that's going to be a difficult one. Eh? I would probably, it's a mix up between your Tiger Woods or Phil Mickelson. Tiger Woods, I suppose, yeah. Just because he's just who he is.
He's Tiger. He's Tiger. You don't really need to explain that decision ever.
I would have. I saw Seve around player around Gary Player, and his short game was just there was positions that he was. I was like, there's just no ways he's going to get up and down. And Tris Bob, he got up and down. So. Just incredible, was he
a character to watch? Because that was my favorite thing about Seve, because as good as golfer he was, just that persona, you know, he wasn't machine robotic like. It didn't look like. He had character. He had that Spanish flair. And did you experience that?
Yeah, definitely. That Spanish flair, that the Spaniards are very emotional characters. And wear their hearts on their sleeve. And I tell you what, when they hit a bad shot or or if they hit, even if they hit a good shot or a putt. You see it now with Sergio. You look at Jimenez, just very passionate people.
Or John Rahm's two putts against Louis at the US.
Yeah, absolutely. But they almost, Seve was a different person when he hit that, or before he hit that first tee shot. It was, you know, it was like a different person. He was like in a zone, and he didn't care about anyone else. Respectfully, it was about winning. It was about playing his best golf, and it was almost like he was. I'm sure in his mind, he was the only player on the golf course at that given time, and you saw it. It was evident in Ryder Cups. But I saw it firsthand, without a doubt. It was like, he was walking down the fairway like he was the only player on that hole. So, but just, yeah. And what was nice about Seve is, as a youngster, I played a very similar game. I hit it all over the place in the bush and, you know, hack it out and hit on the green in one putt. And that was very similar. You know, my game was very similar to that. it was, you know, Nicky Price, just an absolute true gentleman. And always had time for people, for youngsters, autographs, just absolute iconic gentleman. And I just wish, and hopefully, I'm really, really trying as a tournament director for Nedbank Golf Challenge, and being our 40th edition next year, I'm pretty confident that we will have it. Is that you get these superstars to come and just reminisce and come and play and not in an actual event, but probably in the prime, or even just be part of the festivities. I'm really, really working hard to get those past champions to come in and come and experience the new age Nedbank Golf Challenge that we have.
Oh, well, I've got no doubt that you will pull it off, given the amazing things that you have managed to achieve over the past couple of years over at that iconic golf course. And it's funny that you mention Nicky Price, because our previous guest, we had Felicity Sheba, and she has fallen in love with golf tenfold. And the way she got into golf was, she ended up moving to Zimbabwe and ended up being coached by Nicky Price's brother.
Oh, wow. That's fantastic.
Jeez. And yeah, so it certainly runs through the family in terms of great people the prices are. Ken, it's been so good having you on board. I have to mention, because I actually wanted to speak about it early in the show, because we haven't had an episode since the Ryder Cup took place. So let's just quickly touch on that. I know you spoke about it earlier, but very disappointing result from the Europeans, but amazing performance from the Americans. And wow, that outfit, it will take some beating.
Yeah, look, the Americans were on a mission, without a doubt. I think they were very quietly confident, and just the preparation leading up to. And if you look at the team that Steve Tricker picked, it was a really, really strong team, and it was, most of them were on form. And it's very, very difficult to beat the Americans in their backyard, especially going up north. You know, if you look at Whistling Straits, I was there for the 2004 PGA. And that's real American country there. And if you look at the fans, that there were thousands of fans over there, they were behind the Americans. So very, very difficult to win. And to be honest with you, I was very disappointed in the picks, because if you look at the players, I think, you know, I don't think he picked the informed players, to be very honest with you. Justin Rose's, your Wiesbergers, and he went more with experience. And you know what? He stayed by his decisions, and it didn't work out. But very, very difficult to beat the Americans on home soil. And there's no doubt whatsoever the next Ryder Cup, which is going to be based in Italy, the Americans would want to try and emulate and do exactly the same, because that's going to be a huge, huge turnaround from an American point of view to get the Ryder Cup and keep it there. So, but there's no doubt the Europeans will be fighting, and let's see who the captain's going to be.
Yeah, who's your money on with regards to the captain? Who would you like to see there?
Well, you always look at your Lee Westwoods, your Ian Poulters. You know, it's players like that, you know, when you cut them in half, you just see Ryder Cup, European Tour, they're just passionate. So, difficult one, because there's so many there's so many really, really good players that have had a huge history and a long history with the Ryder Cup and are more than capable of captaining this side. So to be honest with you, I would love to see Lee Westwood. I would love to. Also, a true gentleman, a really good, really good with people, a really good people's person. He's got time for everyone. And he would be a man on a mission to try and get that Ryder Cup back.
And a man who's pretty much made the Gary Player Country Club almost his second home.
Yeah, very comfortable around here. It's amazing when he comes back to Sun City, how comfortable a lot of players are around this golf course. Your Lee Westwoods. Ian Poulter hasn't really had a good track record here because he tries to come back, but he's not comfortable around this golf course. If you look at the likes of your Brandon Grace, very comfortable around your Tommy Fleetwood, who is defending champion, although geez, he's been defending champion now how long now? It's just COVID is just all over the place. So there's a lot of players that, you know, they say horses for courses, but it truly is that your Lee Westwood comes here and he's like, he feels at home, he's comfortable, he enjoys the golf course, he's won here many, many times. But it's a tough track, really it is. You know, the European Tour set the course up, especially when it comes to the pins. They with the cloverleaf greens and it becomes very, very difficult and with the swirling winds. But these guys are just incredible. It's just amazing if you come and watch them and you watch them on TV, you think, how on earth can he hit it close to the pin? But they do it. And it just shows you how remarkable these players are. And there's some really, really good youngsters coming up on the European Tour. And hopefully with the partnership with the European Tour and the PGA Tour, we can get a couple of Americans next year. But definitely for 2023, we're hoping to get your top-tier American player coming to play here at the Gary Player Country. It would be fantastic to see some Americans again. It's been lacking in the last couple of years. And it's something we're really, really working hard on to get the American players back because the title sponsor, they would love to see the American players and also the South African public. They want to see the likes of your top American players playing in South Africa and come and watch because they don't have access to those players, especially not everyone has the privilege to go over to America and watch tournaments over there. So it'd be great to see those American players play on South African soil.
I fully concur.
And Ken, I wanted to ask, and a return for the media's Nedbank final round?
Yeah, absolutely. That's tradition, isn't it?
Yeah, I can't tradition. Wait, obviously. I've played in three of them. We don't talk much about them.
yeah. So, well, listen, I think I need to introduce a handicap limit for next year, don't you think?
You're off the course.
No, that's a tradition where we have our final round before we close. And in actual fact, we're busy negotiating now with dates for Blue Label Challenge because they had a fantastic week last week. So they want to continue and they want us to be the host. So we're busy working out dates to hopefully have that just before we close the course in prep. You know, we have to close, of course, 21 days before Nedbank Golf Challenge. So we're busy working on those dates and soon to be confirmed. So definitely, without a doubt, that's been a long-standing tradition, final round media.
It's an incredible tradition.
And there's a reason why we closed the golf course for 3 weeks before, because you guys hang it up.
Yeah.
This is not a lie.
No, not at all. And Ken, as we do with every episode, we've got our course of the episode. I've got to ask, are you able to give us a four ball to give away to our listeners to experience the majesty that is of the Gary Player Country Club?
Absolutely, with pleasure. In actual fact, I'm going to throw the Losity Golf Course in there as well, because the Losity Golf Course is looking fantastic at the moment. I must say, my team have done a remarkable job in getting the Losity Golf Course to really, really good condition. So I'm going to throw a four ball in a Gary Player, as well as a four ball to the Losity Golf Course as well.
Oh, it doesn't get better. Thank you so much, Ken. It is an icon of South Africa's sport, especially when it comes to golf. Worldwide, it is world-renowned. The iconic Gary Player Country Club recently played host to the Blue Label Challenge, but upcoming It is the SA Open. I can't wait to be there. Ty can't wait either. And Ken, congratulations to you and your staff for putting up a sterling, sterling piece of real estate, which just gets better every time we see it and play it.
Thank you very much, gents. Lovely being here and looking forward to seeing you soon.
Cheers. Thanks very much for joining us for another edition of Raider Golf. Wow, Ty, how's that prize?
Derek, I mean, in fact, ladies and gentlemen, I've done the draw. I'm sorry, I'm winning. I'm not allowed to, am I?
Oh, man, jeez, I'm very, very envious of whoever captures that prize. See, but
Derek, I've got it. Congratulations. You're fighting for a 3 or 2 ball place at Gary Player, where you'll join myself and Derek.
Oh, no.
Okay, I'm not going to take advantage. I'm not going to take advantage.
Yeah, well, be sure, if you don't win the prize, don't worry. You can capture every single shot taking place on Supersport. It will be bringing you the SA Open taking place at Gary Player Country Club. We cannot wait. Thank you to all our guests for joining us once again. We'll catch you soon on the next episode of Raider Golf, where we'll give you that full review of how Ty and I enjoyed our set of clubs from Grindworks. Cheers, everyone. Catch you soon.
Cheers.